Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're diving deep into investing, how to make it work for you, and most importantly, how to avoid those scams.
Yes.
We've got some interesting articles and expert advisories to unpack today.
Right.
Some stuff that might surprise you. Like, have you ever heard of pig butchering?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
It is a wild one.
It's like online dating meets financial fraud. And people have lost billions just this year alone. Billions.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that today.
Okay.
We'll also learn how to spot shady investments.
Yes.
The importance of registered securities. Those are important.
Very important.
And even some strategies to grow your wealth over time the right way.
Absolutely. Got to have a plan.
So it's really fascinating how these scammers, they take advantage of like our basic human needs.
Right.
Like the need for connection and belonging and wanting a better life.
Exactly.
They exploit that.
Absolutely.
Especially in the online world where it's so easy to hide.
Yeah. Especially when you're anonymous.
So let's break it down. What is pig butchering?
Okay.
And how does it actually work?
So it's kind of a disturbing term when you think about it.
It is.
I mean, it really reflects just the cold-hearted nature of this scam.
Yeah.
You know, pig butchering comes from this Chinese phrase, xia zu pan, which means fattening a pig before slaughter.
Oh.
And that's exactly what these scammers do.
Really?
Yeah. They fatten up their victims. They give them all this attention and affection.
Oh.
Build up that trust. They use dating apps, social media.
Right.
And it happens over weeks or even months.
Wow.
Yeah. They shower you with compliments, share personal stories. They even talk about building a future together.
Oh, no.
But it's all fake.
It's all a lie.
All a carefully constructed facade to set you up.
Oh, wow.
For the slaughter, the financial hit.
It is scary.
So once they've gained your trust, then they'll introduce you to like this supposedly amazing investment opportunity.
Okay.
And it usually involves cryptocurrency or foreign exchange trading.
So it's like a love story gone wrong.
Yes.
But financially.
It's really a financial thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they'll use very convincing tactics.
Like what?
Like fake profits
mm-hmm.
to hook you. They might even let you withdraw a small profit early on.
Really?
Just to gain your confidence.
Oh, wow.
And then comes the push to invest more, promising you even greater returns.
And then what happens?
When you try to access your gains, poof, gone.
Wow. That's terrifying. And you mentioned that billions of dollars have been lost.
Billions, yeah.
How many billions?
Well, the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, along with global regulators, they estimate that romance investment scams, which includes pig butchering, they've stolen over $3.5 billion globally just this year.
Oh, my God.
And that's just the reported cases.
Oh, wow.
Many people, they're too embarrassed to even come forward.
That's probably the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
$3.5 billion, it really shows you how big of a problem this is.
It's a huge problem.
So how do we protect ourselves?
Well, awareness is your first line of defense.
Okay.
If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
And be wary. If someone online that you've just met, especially if you've never met them in person, starts pushing investments.
Okay.
And never mix personal relationships with early financial transactions.
That makes sense. So trust your gut. Be cautious. And keep your finances separate from your personal life.
Yes.
At least at the beginning.
At least at the beginning.
What other signs should we look out for?
Well, notice if they try to move the conversation off the dating platform or social media.
Okay.
And onto a private messaging app.
Right.
That makes it harder to report them.
Right, right.
Also, pay attention to how they talk about themselves. Do they constantly brag about their wealth? Like crypto.
Yeah.
And offer to help you get rich, too.
Right.
Red flag.
Huge red flag. Legitimate advisors, they don't do that.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're creating that illusion of success.
To draw you in.
What about the investments themselves?
Be wary if they are pushing you toward a specific trading app or website, especially if you haven't heard of it before.
Okay.
Do your own research.
To verify. Don't just take their word for it.
Right.
What if you're talking to someone online and you're starting to have second thoughts? What should you do?
Trust your gut. Don't ignore those doubts.
Okay.
Do some digging. Do a reverse image search of their profile picture.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, and see if they're using a stolen image.
Okay.
Look for inconsistencies in their stories or any vague answers about their work or background.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, and if something feels off, cut off contact.
It's better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
What if you think you've already been scammed?
Okay, don't panic, but don't delay either.
Okay.
Gather any evidence you have, screenshots of conversations, transactions, website addresses.
I got it.
Then report it to the authorities.
Which authorities?
Contact the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, for commodity-related investments, the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3, and your local law enforcement.
Okay, so there are resources out there to help, but obviously the best thing to do is to avoid getting scammed in the first place.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to our next point. Staying within the bounds of regulated markets.
Yes.
Can you explain why that's important for investors like us?
Sure. Think of it this way. Investing in registered securities is like choosing a restaurant with a good health inspection rating.
Okay.
You're more likely to have a safer, more enjoyable experience. When a security, like a stock or bond, is registered with a regulatory body like the SEC, it means the company issuing that security has to play by the rules.
Okay.
They're required to disclose information about their business, financials, risks involved. It's all out there for you to examine before you invest.
So it's all about transparency.
Yes. Transparency and accountability. These companies, they aren't just operating in the shadows. Someone's watching them.
Got it. But how does that benefit me as an investor?
Well, you're not going in blind. You have access to information to help you make an informed decision.
Okay, yeah.
Can you imagine going to a restaurant and not knowing what's on the menu or how the food is prepared?
No.
Investing in unregistered securities can be like that. A risky gamble.
Okay.
Plus, when you work with licensed brokers and advisors, you have another layer of protection.
How so?
They have legal obligations to act in your best interest and to provide accurate information. It's not foolproof, but it definitely weeds out a lot of the bad actors.
That makes sense. It levels the playing field.
Right.
But it makes me think of Bernie Madoff. Didn't he manage to operate for so long because he kept part of his business unregistered?
You're right. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Madoff's case is a stark reminder that regulation, while important, isn't a silver bullet.
Right.
He deliberately kept a significant portion of his operation under the radar to avoid scrutiny that comes with SEC registration and the potential for audits, which might have exposed his fraud sooner.
And people lost billions.
Millions, yeah.
I remember reading that even experienced investors got caught up in that.
Yes. Madoff was a master manipulator. He cultivated an aura of exclusivity, prestige, lured investors in with the promise of consistent, above-average returns. Classic, too-good-to-be-true scenario.
Right.
Many people, blinded by trust, failed to do their due diligence.
So what's the lesson here? How can we avoid falling into a similar trap?
Independent verification is crucial. Don't just rely on what you're being told, no matter how impressive the salesperson or how convincing the marketing materials seem.
Okay.
Dig deeper. Check registrations. Look for independent reviews and consider getting a second opinion from a trusted advisor who is not affiliated with the investment being pitched.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Oh, yeah.
Be proactive. Ask questions. And don't be afraid to challenge the information you're given. Now, I want to talk about smart investing strategies. We've covered a lot on avoiding the pitfalls, but how do we build wealth the right way?
Okay.
What are the core principles we should focus on?
Let's start with diversification. You've probably heard the saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Well, that applies to your investments too. Spreading your money across different types of assets like stocks, bonds, real estate, even commodities, it helps reduce your risk.
Right.
Because not every investment is going to be a winner. But if one asset class is underperforming, others might be doing well, which helps to cushion the blow.
It's like having a safety net.
Exactly.
You're not relying on one single investment to make or break you.
Right.
So how do we diversify effectively?
Well, first consider your time horizon. Are you investing for a short-term goal or a long-term goal, like retirement?
Okay.
That time horizon will really influence your asset allocation, which is the mix of stocks, bonds, and other assets in your portfolio.
So if you need the money sooner, you're probably going to take on less risk.
Exactly. Now, within those asset classes, you can diversify even further.
Okay.
For example, instead of picking individual stocks, which can be volatile and require a lot of research, you can invest in broad market index funds or exchange-traded funds, known as ETFs.
I've heard of those.
Yeah.
But can you explain how they work and why are they good for diversification?
Sure. Think of index funds and ETFs as baskets of stocks or bonds that track a specific market index, like the S&P 500.
Okay.
When you invest in an S&P 500 index fund, you're essentially buying a tiny piece of all 500 companies in that index.
Oh, wow.
That instantly gives you broad diversification.
Okay.
Because you're not betting on just one or two companies.
So you're spreading your risk across hundreds of companies.
Exactly. And here's another benefit.
Okay.
Index funds and ETFs typically have very low fees compared to actively managed funds.
What's the difference?
An actively managed fund has a fund manager who's constantly buying and selling stocks trying to outperform the market.
Oh.
But the research shows that over the long run, most actively managed funds actually underperform index funds after you factor in the fees.
So sometimes simpler is better.
Simpler can be better and cheaper.
Mm.
This is the power of passive investing. Instead of trying to outsmart the market, which is very difficult to do consistently, you're riding the wave of overall market growth.
I like that, riding the wave.
Yeah. And speaking of riding the wave, another key principle of smart investing is understanding your risk tolerance.
Risk tolerance, huh?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's about how much volatility you can stomach in your investments.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you with the idea that your portfolio value might go down in the short term, even if you expect it to go up over the long term?
Okay.
Everyone has a different level of risk tolerance. Some people are fine with big swings, while others lose sleep over a small drop. There's no right or wrong answer. It's about finding what aligns with your personality and financial goals.
So know yourself.
Yes.
And your comfort level.
Yes.
What if you're not sure about your risk tolerance?
Many financial websites and even robo-advisors offer risk tolerance questionnaires.
Oh.
And, of course, talking to a financial advisor can be really helpful, too.
Yeah, like having a guide.
Yeah, exactly.
So once you set your asset allocation, chosen your investments, are you done?
Not quite. It's an ongoing process. As your life changes and the market fluctuates, you'll need to rebalance your portfolio. Make sure you're still on track.
What's rebalancing?
Okay, so let's say your initial target allocation is 60% stocks and 40% bonds.
Okay.
Over time, those stocks might do really well, increasing their proportion to, say, 70%, while bonds only make up 30%.
Okay.
Rebalancing involves selling some of those stocks that have grown disproportionately and using those funds to buy more bonds.
Right.
Bringing it back to that original 60-40 split.
So you're selling high and buying low.
Exactly. It helps you maintain discipline, manage risk, and potentially boost your returns over time.
Okay. So we've talked about diversification, risk tolerance, and rebalancing. But there's another crucial aspect of investing that often gets overlooked.
What's that?
Something that can really eat away at your returns.
Hmm. What could that be?
I think you're talking about fees.
Fees. You got it.
Those little percentages that we tend to ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fees might seem insignificant at first, but over time, they can really add up. It's like a slow leak in your wealth-building boat.
Oh, wow.
Let's say you have $100,000 invested, and you're earning 7% average annual return. A 1% annual fee might not seem like much, but over 30 years, that 1% fee could cost you over $130,000 in potential earnings, compared to a lower 0.25% fee.
Wow, $130,000. That's a lot of money.
It is. And that's just a 0.75% difference in fees.
So how do we avoid this fee trap?
Awareness is key. Always read the fine print. Understand the fee structure of any investment. Look for low-cost options like index funds and ETFs.
Right.
They often have expense ratios well below 0.5%, sometimes even less than 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
Be cautious of actively managed funds that charge higher fees, 1% or 2% or more per year. And watch out for hidden charges that eat into your returns.
So those simple options like index funds can actually save you money.
In the long run, yes.
And remember, when working with a financial advisor, always understand their fee structure and make sure the value they provide aligns with the cost.
Transparency is key.
Transparency is key. It all comes back to being informed. But before we wrap up, what else should we be thinking about as we build our investment strategy? What other pieces of this puzzle are we missing?
You've touched on some important points: diversification, risk tolerance, the impact of fees. But one thing I would emphasize is the importance of aligning your investments with your overall financial goals.
Right.
Like, what are you saving and investing for? Is it retirement? Down payment on a home?
Yeah.
Your kids' education? Starting a business?
It's easy to get caught up in like the actual investing part.
Right.
Choosing stocks or funds, rebalancing, and forget the why. Why are we doing this?
Exactly. Having clear financial goals gives your investment strategy purpose and direction. It helps you stay focused, motivated, especially when the market gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
And your goals might change over time, so your investment approach should too.
So it's an ongoing process. But I think a lot of people get intimidated by setting financial goals.
Right.
Where do you even begin?
Start by thinking about what you want to achieve financially. in different stages of your life.
Okay.
Do you want to be debt-free in 5 years? Travel the world in 10? Retire comfortably in 20?
Right.
Write those goals down. Make them specific, measurable, and then break them down into smaller steps.
Like a roadmap to your financial future.
Exactly.
But what if those goals are really far off?
Okay.
Like retirement. How do you stay motivated to keep investing when the payoff feels so far away?
That's where the magic of compounding really comes in.
Okay, the magic of compounding.
It's like a snowball rolling down a hill, gathering more snow. The earlier you start, the more time your money has to grow.
So time is on our side.
Yes. Even small contributions invested consistently over time can make a big difference, thanks to compounding. So remember, building wealth is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Stay focused on those long-term goals. Don't panic during market downturns and avoid those get-rich-quick schemes.
Steady and consistent wins the race.
Yes.
But for a lot of people, the biggest hurdle is just getting started.
Right.
It can be really overwhelming to know where to put your money.
You know, you don't have to be a financial expert to be a successful investor. There are so many resources available today, reputable financial websites, books, podcasts, even robo-advisors that can create a portfolio for you based on your goals.
So many resources out there. It's like having a coach right in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
But beyond those tools and resources, what other advice would you give someone who's just starting out?
Start small. Focus on building good habits. Even if you can only invest a little each month, that's a great start.
Okay.
As you learn more and your income grows, you can gradually increase your contributions. The key is consistency.
So those habits are more important than the actual amount you're investing?
At the beginning, yes. It's like exercise. Small, consistent actions lead to big results.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to make mistakes either. Everyone does. Learn from them and keep moving forward.
It's a learning process.
It is.
This has been so helpful. I feel like I've learned a new way to approach investing, not just about avoiding scams, but really being strategic.
Right.
With a long-term vision. Before we wrap up, is there one key takeaway you'd want our listeners to remember today?
I'd say remember this. Building wealth is a journey, not a destination. It takes time, effort, and a commitment to making informed decisions.
Okay.
You are in control of your financial future. Don't let fear or uncertainty hold you back.
That's really powerful. You've given us so much to think about today. Any parting thoughts for staying ahead in the financial world?
Never stop learning. The more you know about investing, the better choices you'll make, the fewer mistakes you'll make. Stay curious. Read, listen to podcasts, and reach out to an advisor if you need help.
Keep learning, keep growing. It's a journey, not a destination. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of investing. We've covered a lot, from scam prevention to smart investing and the importance of lifelong learning. You are now better equipped to navigate the market and build that brighter financial future.
And remember, the most effective investment approach is one you understand, one you can stick with, and one that gives you peace of mind. Do your research and build a plan that works for you.
Perfectly said. Until next time, keep learning, keep investing, and keep those financial goals in sight. So it really is a journey.
It is.
But before we wrap up, what else should we be thinking about when we're putting together an investment strategy? Like, what pieces are we still missing?
You know, you've touched on some really important points: diversification, risk tolerance, impact of fees. But one thing I would emphasize is the importance of making sure your investments are aligned with your overall financial goals.
Right.
What are you actually saving and investing for?
Yeah.
Is it a comfortable retirement?
Mm.
Down payment on a house? Your children's education? Starting a business.
It's easy to get caught up in, you know, like the actual investing part of it.
Right.
Like choosing stocks and funds and all that.
Right.
Rebalancing.
Right.
And forget like the why. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Having clear financial goals, it gives your investment strategy a purpose and direction. Helps you stay focused, motivated, especially when the market throws you a curveball.
Yeah.
And remember, your goals might change over time, so your investment approach should too.
So it's an ongoing process.
It is.
Of reassessment.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, myself included, get a little intimidated by setting financial goals.
Yeah.
Where do you even start?
Just start by thinking about what you want to achieve financially in different stages of your life.
Okay.
Do you want to be debt-free in 5 years?
Yeah.
Travel the world in 10. Retire comfortably in 20. Write those goals down. Make them specific, measurable, and then break them down into smaller, actionable steps.
Like creating a roadmap.
Yeah.
Exactly. A roadmap to your financial future.
But what if your goals seem really far off, like retirement?
Right.
How do you stay motivated when it feels like it's so far away?
That's where the magic of compounding comes in.
Ooh, the magic of compounding.
It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It gathers more snow as it rolls. And the earlier you start investing, the more time your money has to grow exponentially.
So time is our friend.
Time is your greatest ally. Even small contributions invested consistently can make a huge difference in the long run, thanks to the power of compounding.
Okay, so it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. Building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. Stay focused on your long-term goals. Don't panic when the market dips. And avoid those get-rich-quick schemes.
Steady and consistent.
Yes.
But I think for a lot of people, the biggest hurdle is just getting started. It can feel overwhelming.
Right.
Like, where do I put my money? You know, you don't have to be a financial expert to be a successful investor. There are so many resources available today to help you get started. Reputable financial websites, books, podcasts like this one, even robo-advisors that can create and manage a portfolio based on your goals and risk tolerance.
That's true. So many resources. It's like having a personal finance coach.
Exactly.
But beyond the tools and resources, what other advice would you give someone who's just starting out?
I would say start small. Focus on building those good habits. Even if you can only invest a small amount each month, that's great.
Okay.
Over time, as you learn more and your income grows, you can gradually increase those contributions. But the key is consistency.
So building those habits is more important than the actual amount you're investing?
In the beginning, yes. It's like exercise or eating healthy. Small, consistent actions over time lead to big results. And don't be afraid to make mistakes along the way. It happens to all of us. The important thing is to learn from them and keep moving forward.
It's a learning process. This has been such a great conversation. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on investing.
Yeah.
Not just about avoiding the scams, but approaching it strategically with that long-term vision.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, what's one key takeaway you'd want our listeners to remember today?
You know, I'd say remember that building wealth, it's a journey, not a destination. It takes time, effort, and commitment to making informed decisions. And remember that you are in control of your financial future. Don't let fear or uncertainty hold you back from taking action.
I love that. You've given our listeners so much to think about today.
Good.
Any parting thoughts or recommendations for staying ahead of the curve, especially in this crazy financial world?
Never stop learning. The more you know, the better choices you'll make and the fewer mistakes you'll make. Stay curious, read, listen to podcasts like this one, and reach out to a financial advisor if you need help.
Keep learning, keep growing. It's a journey, not a destination. And listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into investing. We covered a lot today. Scam prevention, smart investing strategies, the importance of lifelong learning. You're now better equipped to navigate the complexities of the market and build a brighter financial future.
And remember, the most effective investment approach is one that you understand, one that you can stick with, and one that gives you peace of mind. Do your own research. Build a plan that works for you, and you'll be well on your way.
Perfectly said. Until next time, keep learning, keep investing, and keep those financial goals in sight. We'll see you next time.